Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Spike and Fritz with you. Ike off today. Had some news with the Sixers today, as Ace Bailey was supposed to be here today to meet with Sixers brass and then work out tomorrow. It was canceled by the Ace Bailey camp, and with us to talk about it is the People's Insider, Jake Fisher, born and bred Philadelphia. Jake, how we doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, man. How are you? It's an honor to be here as always.
Oh, listen to him. Listen to him, Jack.
Buttering us up.
You can subscribe.
No, man. Yeah. Just listen to the intro. The intro track coming back from commercial takes me back to being in the car as a kid. It always does.
There you go.
We'll grill you on Mosh later, but yeah. We got important things to get to.
Yeah, we have some Mosh questions later. by the way, you can subscribe to Jake's writing. Jake works with Mark Stein, legend, there at markstein.substack.com. Definitely, if you are into rumors, if you like the NBA and you're into rumors, that is a good place to be. So, big story today is that there had been some whispers about Ace Bailey only working out for certain teams, blah, 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 blah. And then the Sixers schedule the meeting for him to come in today and the workout tomorrow canceled. So, like, as best as you can tell, why did he make the meeting and then cancel the meeting?
To be honest, there does not seem to be a sensical reason as to why this has all unfolded, because the only savvy chicanery agenting that would be behind this that would make sense is if you have a promise somewhere else in the top five, top six, wherever your range that you're comfortable with, and you have that secured and you just want to make sure you try to clear the way and do what you can to get to that spot. But we have not heard he's worked out anywhere else. And from all my conversations around the league, I don't think he's locked in at Charlotte. I don't think he's locked in at number five with Utah. And there's some serious questions about even if the Washington Wizards would be a home for him, or even the New Orleans Pelicans down at seven. So I could be completely in the dark, but there is no word right now that Ace Bailey actually has a spot. And I don't really understand what the strategy here is. I really don't.
Yeah, there was some talk that he wanted to go somewhere where he could sort of thrive. Like, I guess the idea being that he wouldn't want to go to a contender. He would want to go to a team where he would be able to be featured more. It just doesn't seem like it makes any sense to not work out at all. It's not like he is a... Everybody knew Cooper Flagg is a locked-in player, right, at number one.
Sure.
You don't go and work out for teams unless you know... You know, when Markel Fultz came and worked out for the Sixers, unfortunately, he knew they were going to take him at one. So if you are a guy trying to increase your stock, it would seem that any meeting you could have and any positive workout you could have would only make your stock go up, right?
I would agree. And I think there's always been some type of, you know, what agents can try to maneuver things and figure out exactly how to get your star to a spot. But when you look at Ace Bailey in particular, the shot selection is a bit questionable to teams. He doesn't have as much on-ball creation stuff that you would want in a, you know, surefire top, you know, franchise-changing guy. So when you put it at Philly, you know, obviously that situation isn't there. He's going to be behind Joel Embiid, Paul George, Tyrese Maxey at a minimum. Charlotte, that team is pretty much run through LaMelo Ball and Brandon Miller right now. Utah has the vacuum that and has the opportunity for any prospect to come in there. They have not hit on a guy in the last however long this rebuild you want to call it with Utah is. Same thing with Washington. In theory, there's no clear-cut number one option there. But it doesn't seem like teams are even looking at him to be that type of player anyway. I haven't heard scouts talk about him nearly in the breadth of Cooper, of Dylan, or even just a general someone who you're going to bring in and think that this guy is going to be potentially one day the best player on a championship team.
Jake Fisher with us. Jake Fisher, the People's Insider. You can find more of Jake's writing at Mark Stein's website. Just Google Mark Stein. It's right there. So let me ask you two Sixers-related questions based on the decision that Ace Bailey made. If you're the Sixers, does this, if you were going to take him, does this, like, do you think this affects whether they would take him or not?
No. At the end of the day, I think Daryl Morey is the type of I will go against the grain thinker type guy to just pick the prospect that he wants no matter what. That being said, I think with Philly, this is such a weird spot being that you very rarely see teams trade out of a top three pick. And you also very rarely see a top three pick immediately contribute to a championship caliber rotation and roster. And that is, of course, what the Sixers hope this group will be when everyone is theoretically back healthy next season. Those are big ifs and big theories. But if that is the outcome, that's what obviously is the North Light and the guiding star of what Daryl and that group is trying to achieve throughout all their offseason roster work and whatnot. I don't think you take the project guy. I do think you want someone who has more of a clear cut. We see him translating and contributing in some degree right now. Like, you're kind of trying to have to split the baby in thinking about this group long term, knowing the concerns that Joel might not be healthy, and then you have a bigger question on your hands. But in the event that you are a top of the Eastern Conference team, you do want someone who can help you right now. And I don't know if that's Ace Bailey.
Jake, how real is the Paul George rumors out there? Like, do you think on opening night he's going to be a Sixer?
I do. I've never gotten any credible word that Philly's actually talking about him in trade rumors. We've written that the last little stretch here on the Stein line. And I think also, I don't know how Daryl can come around with giving, you know, Mike Levin a cap space jersey on the rights to Ricky Sanchez. And
he did.
You know, then come back to ownership the next year and say, you know what, my bad. That wasn't the right call. I should also still be the person, you know, leading this organization. I don't think you can just about face on your absolute, like, this is the most direct path to a championship decision in, you know, 11 months. I don't really see that as something that, like, that's not Orlando moving off of KCP, for example, very quickly, putting all their chips in to go get Desmond Bane. That is the top free agent on the board that you cleared all this cap space for, that you potentially, it didn't have any near outcome, but you, like, potentially, you know, tricked up Tyrese Maxey's extension to delay the space, all this for Paul George and only Paul George. I don't think you can just snap your fingers and about face so quickly like that.
Well, certainly, unless they are getting a better player than Paul George. I think the question, sure, the thing that people are asking about is, would they do it just to rid themselves of the contract? And that seems incredibly unlikely to me at this point.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I mean, sure. Could they, in theory, call up Utah and try to see if a Paul George for Larry Markkanen thing exists? I saw that got reported somewhere. Sure. I just don't see why Utah would do that. I don't see why. Like, I don't think there's options out there. Like, you know, same thing. We talked about the Memphis deal. You know, people started texting me right after that trade, like, oh, well, who's Memphis going to go out and trade all that stuff for? Like, probably someone like Desmond Bane. Like, there aren't that many players, I think, on the board that you could turn Paul George into that make you so much better. I'm sure someone listening in the car is screaming, Kevin Durant, Kevin Durant, Kevin Durant. Do you really want to go after KD after all the stuff that's been plaguing this team? Like, you want to get an older guy who has more injury stuff and isn't secured long term?
And yeah, and by the way, who wants two more years at $60 million after he gets traded too? So So, a couple other things. There's been a lot of, and we've talked a lot about, the idea of the Sixers trading back. It felt like what they were going to do, but if there's not a team that's desperate for Ace Bailey, I wonder if that's going to happen. What do you think the odds of the Sixers trading back at this point are?
So, I think like you said, it wouldn't necessarily be for Ace. I think if there's a team that just at the end of the day, they wake up next Wednesday morning and they think to themselves, we need VJ Edgecombe, that's probably the best chance, I think. And the one team I've heard all along to really monitor for that has been Washington picking number six. I don't know how aggressive the Wizards will ultimately get to do that, but that was kind of the one scenario that I've heard all along that I believe to be true, that I've kept in my back pocket thinking, you know, let's be prepared for this. But outside of that, at this point in time, I am starting to think it's far more likely that Philly stays pat. And I know from talking to a couple people amongst those teams right after Philly, they're starting to operate and conduct their business as if the Sixers will stay at three and most likely take Edgecombe as well. So that's where I'm at right now. But I do think with Philly, with Charlotte, even down to Toronto and Houston and others in the lottery, I think a lot of this trade stuff is going to potentially really come down to the wire when they're on the clock and how the order really starts to shake out.
Jake, I find this, like, I find the insider game so fascinating. Like, I think it's so, like, cool, actually. Like, how hard is this time of the year trying to decipher what's real, what's not? Are you being used? Like, take us inside this last week up until a trade, or up until the NBA draft.
Yeah. To be honest, and this is probably a bad thing to say to, like, shoot out the majesty of what we do. The draft is honestly the easiest time of year because there's so many people involved. There are, you know, college coaches and college graduate assistants and the trainer from the agency and the intern at the agency and the actual agent, and certain people played for Team USA, so there's contacts there, and they played in an AAU program and that coach is involved. And then every single team, you know, everyone picking behind Philly, for example, knows that I could potentially be on WIP talking about the Sixers, and they're like, what's Philly up to? And then you talk to those teams, and then you talk to teams below them and the teams below them. Everyone's trying to hack this order this year, 1 through 59. It's not like the trade deadline or free agency where, you know, for example, the mid-level market right now is kind of all the rage, right? And we're trying to pinpoint, you know, which centers are going to go to these spots. Like, you know, one team just might decide, oh, this trade came about and we're actually not in the mid-level market anymore, and the thing you were chasing just disappears. With the draft, there is going to be a 1 through 59, and everyone who is remotely tied to the NBA is trying to figure it out. So you kind of can help everyone that you are friendly with, have rapport with, help them do their jobs and vice versa. And it is almost like you're putting together a puzzle and someone like brings you a corner piece from somewhere else. And then that helps start to piece together these other things. So the draft, I think, is maybe the easiest time to triangulate all this stuff. But to your question, there is, because all those people are involved, there is more information than there is at any other time. So it does take some BS meter stuff to be able to, you know, suss out what's real. But I do think I have enough people that I trust that are actually like in the room where it's happening to be able to suss out some of the things that I don't necessarily buy.
Last thing, Jake, we did hear some rumors about the Sixers potentially trading up to two. Anything on that, or is that dead? That always felt like a long shot to me.
It always felt like a long shot to me too. I'm sure they tried in earnest, but in the very beginning, once the lottery broke, I think there was some, you know, real initial skepticism that Dylan Harper would fit next to Castle and De'Aaron Fox. But after that initial kind of shock, there's been nothing but direct word, I'd say, that Dylan Harper expects to go to San Antonio number two, and San Antonio expects to draft Dylan Harper.
All right. There he is, Jake Fisher, the People's Insider. You can go subscribe to his stuff with Mark Stein. Can they go to steinline.com? Does that work too? Or is it
markstein.substack.com? I don't know anything else. Yeah.
There it is. Markstein.substack.com. Thank you again, Jake.
Thank you, guys.
Well, seems like
the real insider,
VJ Edgecombe, as opposed to what, me?
Elliot.
Oh, yes.
And by the way,
yeah,
you said they're going to stay at three. You told me for months. You shouted from the rooftops. No way, Daryl's just going
to
stay there at three.
He wants
and
to
take
trade
a, and take a and take a player.
Well, look, Jake could have been spinning us.
Could have been.
He could have been spinning us.
Could have.
You know,
Edgecombe. I think, man, I like him a lot. Like, you see the talent.
He's
I just
a good player.
Worry about the bag.
Well, whatever. I mean, that's the
It could be Oladipo.
He could be Oladipo. He could also be, look, all I know is my nightmare is Josh Hart.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Josh Hart was my nightmare in that Knicks series. And not that you want to take the number three pick in the draft and make him Josh Hart, but if the floor is Josh Hart, if the floor is a guy who is going to grind and, like, at 6'4", is going to defend his ass off, is going to get rebounds. By the way, he's not like a great create for himself shooter, but he's a great spot up shooter.
Sure.
So I would, their worst thing that they could do with VJ Edgecombe. And the other thing I'll say, by the way, is like, the Ace Bailey thing is over. Like, I would just, if you went, because there was a group of people led by, or at least that included Elliot, that were, that he is some sort of like superstar in the making, and he is Kevin Durant, and he is Jason Tatum. Like, he is the wrong guy for every reason. The most important reason that he is the wrong guy is because he's not that good. Like, he is not going to, I don't think the odds that he is going to be a star player are very good. And if he is going to be a star player, that, and this is from every person you talk to, this isn't just like some bias I have, is that if Ace Bailey is going to be a star player, Ace Bailey is going to be a star player in like 5 years. Well, first of all, we don't have 5 years. The second of all, the only way he becomes a star player in 5 years is if he gets a ton of playing time to become that player. He's just not going to get it here. He's not going to be the first option. And it doesn't seem like he is a good spot-up shooter. It doesn't seem like he has any desire, based on any rumor that has come out, that he wants to come in and play 12 minutes and shoot the ball when it's passed to him and play defense.
Well, he is a 43%, you know, catch and shoot shooter from three.
Great, but he doesn't want to be a catch and shoot shooter. He has no desire to do that.
Well,
and,
but like, hold on.
The last thing. Like, just watch him play.
Yeah.
If you watch him play, and watch him play in college compared to every player that you are comparing him to, he doesn't look the same. He doesn't. Every shot he takes is hard because he can't get by his guy. He can dribble. He doesn't have a great first step. He's just not the guy. The Ace Bailey dream is over. It's gone. Forget about it. They're not going to take Ace Bailey. He's not going to be a star here. He's not the future. It is over. No more Ace Bailey.
Well, besides that, Mrs. Lincoln, that was
the
play.
Well, I'm just saying, it's done. It's over. Like, the first 2 weeks of this with the Ace Bailey stuff was at, like, the guy we just had on said he could slide to eight. Eight.
Yeah, but who cares? Ty Robinson fell to the fourth round. Like, I mean, sometimes
we still don't know what was wrong with him.
Sometimes superstars just fall. Here's my thing.
Yeah.
Here's my thing. The report 100% worried me. Right.
Of course.
But if you can say be a star in 5 years, okay. I mean,
that's a second contract.
Isn't Kevin Durant's trainer here the guy that helped train Kevin Durant?
Dude,
if you give this guy, you know, to Kevin Durant's trainer, well, maybe.
Kevin Durant was Kevin Durant in college.
Yeah, but I was told that this is Kevin Durant, but more pros Kevin Durant.
Right, right.
The Ace Bailey. I worry about getting a role player to help this team versus maybe taking the guy with the highest upside and passing on Ace Bailey.
I don't know that he has the highest upside. I don't know that he has the highest upside. When you talk about upside, you also have to think about what are the odds that he reaches that upside.
Like, but you have to have some talent to be able to hit tough shots.
Yes, but the goal isn't to hit tough shots. The goal is to get easy shots.
You need ISOs in playoff basketball.
Yes, and he was playing against college guys and had to take tough shots against college guys.
It sounds like you did more than just your little YouTube big board.
I did. I did too much reading and watching of these players.
Yeah, and you're letting it cloud your judgment.
No, I may have. I don't know. I think this has been incorrectly framed as everybody else they're thinking of taking is going to be a role player. And Ace Bailey, it's just as simple as everybody else they're taking is going to be a role player. Ace Bailey is going to be a star, so they should just take the star. I don't think that's what's going on here. So if you had your dreams of Ace Bailey, if you're ordering your Ace Bailey Sixers jersey, if you have your posters, just if it's within 30 days, you can probably return them. 215-592-9494. Kenny in the Northeast, you're on WIP. What's up, Kenny?
Hey, what's going on, guys, man?
What's up, Kenny?
Oh, man, damn. Yo, this draft is going to be a crazy draft, yo.
Yeah, I don't think anybody knows where anybody's going, which
nobody knows except for one.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one and two.
One and two.
One and two, I think we know. But
they can go up and get Harper, man. I think he's a good player.
Yeah.
Yo, I don't think San Antonio really needs a guard, man. I think they might put Ace Bailey with Wiyombo, whatever his name is.
Wiyombo.
Yep.
I don't
think that's how Ike says it.
I don't think there's any
blueprint.
I don't think there's any chance. I don't think there's any chance the Spurs take Ace Bailey. I don't think there's any chance.
Well, I'm just saying, yeah. Like my man said, this is going to be a hell of a draft right here, but
yep.
I wanted to call up about this. Was I want to talk about why do people say next year they're going to decline? Like Saquon.
Who?
People say Saquon won't have another year like this. Did you know his first contact didn't come so after 1,497 yards, so he had 1,497 yards for his first contact. Last year, the year before that, was 700. He might have 2,500 next year.
No.
Kenny.
Maybe. Kenny, it's not just about contact. It's about the torque that he puts on his body and the running and all of that stuff. It's not just about getting hit. And I think when you go back and you look at the injuries that guys had after touching the ball that much, most of them are not they're not contact injuries. They're non-contact injuries. So I hope he doesn't get hurt, and I actually hope he doesn't touch the ball enough to get 2,400 yards.
My thing is, why we say negative stuff like Zach Bourne ain't going to have another year like this? Can I say this, too,
yes,
about Jalen Hurts?
Sure.
If he's not elite. If he was a statue like Tom Brady, how much would Saquon would have had last year? About 1,500?
I think Saquon would have done just fine with Tom Brady back there, be quite honest with you.
Come on, man. We saw the example in the Super Bowl when they focused on Saquon, didn't win for the fake, 3rd and 13. What'd Jalen do? Here's, for 20.
But here's the truth, though. And I know that Jalen running helps Saquon, but that is in lieu of Jalen passing the ball as well as a guy like Tom Brady. Like, what is not being talked about here is, yes, having Jalen back there definitely makes it a little easier for Saquon to run. But hold on. If the quarterback, if they had a great passing attack, that would also make it better for Saquon, which they didn't have. So, yes, they wouldn't have a mobile QB back there, but there are plenty of, statue QBs who have had great running backs, have great seasons.
But no, they picked their poison.
Okay.
They picked their poison.
Then fine. Then we could just put Justin Fields back there, right? Because he can run.
Listen, no. But all I'm saying is, they went, what you forgot, the games when he was Nino Brown and Stutterman, is this what y'all want to see? Or did you forget the Super Bowl?
No.
The first Super Bowl he lost?
No.
You know Jalen Hurts is the only quarterback with 100% quarterback rating and 50 yards rushing.
Okay. In the Super Bowl.
In the second.
All right.
100 yards, 100 quarterback rating, and 25 yards. You know who he's behind? Montana.
Okay, you know,
same player, yeah.
So, yeah.
They great players, ain't they?
Yeah.
You think Marino would rather have y'all say he's the best, one of the best quarterbacks, or have something in his cupboard? What do you think he would have?
Let me ask you this. Let me flip it around on you. If you were a general manager and you had a choice between Dan Marino and Jalen Hurts, the team is the same. Who would you pick? Who would you pick?
I'm going to flip it on you.
Who'd you pick?
I'll pick right now, Jalen.
Because Dan Marino's 60-something. Right. Yes, congratulations.
Dan Marino in his prime.
So I can't do you asking me
No, it's not that hard. Just answer the question. You're making it more complicated.
Come on with the office dry jokes. Come on.
The what?
Tripper with the office dry jokes.
Just be honest.
Dan Marino got nothing. Okay. Elway went slinging it for two Super Bowls and got nothing. So what did he do? Dumb it down and got Terrell Davis. He won two back-to-back. Am I right?
Okay. What does that have to do with the skill of Jalen Hurts? It's fine. They won the Super Bowl. Can't we just be happy they won the Super Bowl? Holy Christ. I was happy they won the Super Bowl. I do not walk around. Here's the thing. I understand there are basically two schools of thought on how good Jalen Hurts is at this point, right? There is somebody like me, and then there is somebody like Kenny who thinks he's way better than I think he is. Okay, fine. Those are the two. I do not knock on doors and call radio stations and pester people to say that Jalen Hurts is worse than they're saying that he is. That's fine if you think he is what he is. I don't. But, like, why are you so obsessed with convincing me something that I simply... It's not like I just got here. It's not like I didn't watch the games. It's not like I haven't thought about it. I've thought about it. I think he's good, but I don't think he's as good as other guys. It's fine. We won the Super Bowl. Be happy. Stop worrying about convincing me that I think he's as good as you think he is. It's fine. It's fine. Can't we just come to an agreement where I think he's good and you think he's awesome and it's fine. And you don't have to. Until he plays again, I'm not going to change my mind. There's no number of times that you can say that he won the Super Bowl and you'd rather have a guy that won the Super Bowl that didn't win the Super Bowl.
Unlike that loser Marino.
That is just going to snap my brain into thinking, oh, all this time I had to consider it, but the fact that they won the Super Bowl. Oh, thank God! Somebody called me and said they won the Super Bowl.
You forgot.
I have been thinking about Jalen all wrong. If somebody had just let me know that they won the Super Bowl, everything would be so much easier. Oh, for Christ's sake! He's good. He's better than I thought he was.
Yes.
I think he's like the 7th or 8th best quarterback in the NFL. We would die for the 7th or 8th best quarterback in the NFL like 5 years ago. Or we had Carson at that point. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's good enough.
It's fine. They won the Super Bowl.
They won the Super Bowl.
It doesn't make him more than what he is.
All right. 215-592.
Yeah, 215.
Well, the guy, it said Philly's up on the screen. I don't even blame Fran for that.
No, I do not.
But it went from Ace Bailey to why don't you think Jalen's elite to he's got a Super Bowl and Dan Marino doesn't. Dan Marino's still better. He's still better. Dan Marino's better, even without a Super Bowl. For Christ's sake. Okay. 215-592.
Now you're bringing the big man into this.
I'm sorry. The High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report is next. It's the WIP afternoon show.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.